From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The main system Juneau officials have used to manage the COVID-19 pandemic is set to end next month. The Emergency Operations Center was created in March of 2020, shortly after the pandemic was declared. Now, emergency officials have decided not to ask the Juneau Assembly for another extension of their pandemic policies. The city's Emergency Operations Center is shutting down on April 29th. Here's Deputy City Manager Robert Barr.
That doesn't necessarily mean that all of our COVID-related response and all of our COVID-related activities will immediately go away, but some of them will. So our testing operation at the Fire Training Center is a good example of one that we are demobilizing.
The Assembly could overrule that decision, though Assemblymember Michelle Hale told Bartlett Regional Hospital officials on Tuesday there's no plan to. What that means for residents is there will be no more mandates about masking and crowd sizes, but individuals, businesses, and organizations could still impose their own rules. Local data reporting through the city's COVID dashboard will also end. Barr says the city does intend to continue giving out free home test kits and masks as long as the federal government pays for them. Coincidentally, federal funding for fighting COVID is drying up. Congress did not include COVID programs in its latest spending bill. This especially affects people who don't have health insurance and the health care providers that rely on federal money to treat them. As far as future COVID variants and case surges, Barr says city officials will keep monitoring for them and act accordingly.
I think it is fair to say that COVID is here to stay, right? It's not going anywhere. We are going to be living with it in one way or another, presumably for the rest of our lives.
He says that may mean seasonal test kit giveaways and COVID vaccine clinics, kind of like how the flu is managed. In COVID-19 numbers, state data show 27 new cases were reported among residents and visitors to Juneau from Monday and Tuesday. That does not include results from home tests. Bartlett Regional Hospital has 3 patients who are positive for COVID-19. 4 of its healthcare workers are sick or quarantining. Juneau schools are closed this week for spring break. Juneau COVID-19 risk levels remain at level 1, minimal. Statewide, from Monday and Tuesday, 573 new cases were reported among residents and visitors. State data also includes 1 death, preliminarily, over the last week. 37 people who are positive for COVID-19 are hospitalized, including 1 person on a ventilator. Alaska's sole seat in the U.S. House of Representatives is vacant following the death of Representative Don Young. There will be 2 special elections this summer to fill the remainder of his term, a special primary election on June 11th, and a special election to pick the winner on August 16th. Complicating things a bit is the fact that August 16th is also Alaska's regular primary election day. State Division of Elections Director Gail Fanumiai says holding 2 elections at once allows the state to avoid another separate election date.
The main concern is having this special primary election timely enough to get it certified so the race can appear on the August 16th primary election, so we would not be forced with doing yet another special election.
Governor Mike Dunleavy said at a news conference yesterday that he would issue a proclamation later setting the election dates. Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer says that since the June 11th special primary is coming up so quickly, he decides to hold the election by mail.
The vote by mail option just is pretty much the only way we can go and still make still have a successful primary special election.
Voters will still have the option of voting in person at regional division of elections offices early or on the special election day, but most polling places will be closed on that day. The deadline for candidates to file to fill the vacancy is April 1st. The special election will be the first conducted under the state's new ranked choice voting system. It starts with an open pick one primary, so voters will select 1 candidate in the special primary, which will be open to candidates from all political parties. The 4 candidates who get the most votes will advance to the final special election ballot, where voters will rank them. Young's seat will remain vacant until September 2nd, the scheduled date for certifying the special election results. Whoever wins the special election will hold the seat until early January, when the winner of the November election will be sworn in for a full term. The same person could win both elections and stay in office. The Iyaprun Litnaufik Yupik Immersion School in Bethel is expanding in more ways than one. The immersion school is adding 2 extra grade levels. At the same time, construction for a new school building is well underway. KYUK's Greg Kim has the details.
This fall, Iyaprun Litnaufik will offer 7th grade for the first time. The following year, the school will add 8th grade. In early March, the State Board of Education approved the Lower Kuskokwim School District's request to expand Iapoon into the extra grade levels. LKSD needed the state's permission because Iapoon is a charter school. One of its core missions is to develop students' Yupik language proficiency. Clarence Daniel is a Lower Kuskokwim School District Board Chairman and a member of Iapoon's Academic Policy Committee. He said the immersion school's expansion into junior high should help solidify students' knowledge of both Yuktun and English.
I think it gives a little longer for both languages to really flower, you know, bloom.
All five of Daniel's children have gone through or are attending Iapoon, which he says has helped them communicate with their family.
You know, we speak it at home. They speak it to their grandparents. They speak it when they visit our home village a lot.
But Daniel says Iapoon is about more than just learning the Yupik language. It's also about students learning Yupik culture. He provides an example of students at Iapoon learning about fish.
The students can learn all of the components of the fish and the sciences and everything, the biology regarding the fish. And then it just turns another page and you learn about how the fish is spiritually connected to culture and what it means for providing the subsistence way.
Iapoon Litnaufik Yupik Immersion School opened in the 90s as a kindergarten through sixth grade charter school. Since then, LKSD Superintendent Kimberly Hankins says Iapoon has become a pioneer and leader among language immersion programs nationwide.
So we do frequently hear from other school districts around the state asking us questions such as, how did you get started? You know, can we share our curriculum materials?
Iapoon had to rewrite part of its curriculum, though, after some of it burned in the fire that destroyed the former school campus in 2015. Iapoon students moved into a building that used to be a grocery store and have stayed there. Now, over 6 years later, after wrapping up a lengthy settlement dispute with its insurance companies, the district is finally close to having a new school building. Just last week, the district's contractors finished driving over 100 pilings into the ground for the new school's foundation next to the Bethel Regional High School. It will still be a few more years before Iapoon students can move into their new school. The district previously estimated it would be completed in 2023, but Hankins said that date was delayed.
Contractors, you know, struggling to work with COVID delays and then facing lack of materials or just availability of construction materials in general. So the new estimated completion date is summer of 24.
The pandemic has not only delayed the project, it has dramatically increased the cost as well.
And it's due primarily to increased costs in materials due to the pandemic.
That new cost is $8 million more than what LKSD estimated it would cost a few years ago. The new total is almost $51 million. Hankins says the insurance settlement from the Kilbuck fire won't cover that whole amount. Luckily, she says the district has extra funds saved away. Once it's completed, the new Iapoon campus will have enough room for 7th and 8th graders. There were extra classrooms in the design. Asked whether Iapoon would eventually add a high school, Hankins said that was a fun idea to think about. And she added the immersion school is looking into expanding into pre-K as well. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
The administration of Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson is negotiating a contract to build a large homeless center on the corner of Tudor and Elmore Roads that could sleep up to 330 people, primarily single adults. If built, the shelter would be open 24/7 and have few restrictions about who is allowed in it. It would also be set up so that guests have access to service providers that could help them connect to resources like permanent housing and job training. The administration hasn't announced who the contractor is. It didn't respond to a request for more information, but according to documents from a meeting with the Assembly Housing and Homelessness Committee last week, the administration will release more information once the contract negotiations are finished. The site of the shelter would be next to the former Anchorage Police Department offices on Elmore Road. The Assembly has allocated several million dollars for initial funding for the design and planning of the project, and the administration is working to secure $15 million from the state of Alaska to build it. Last month, the state's Division of Agriculture opened up a program to fund purchases of subsistence equipment and other tools to grow or store food. Areas where there is limited or uncertain access to enough food, including much of Bristol Bay, will be given priority in the program. The grants can go toward things like fishing nets, freezers, smokers, and ammunition. Funds are also available for vacuum packing or canning equipment. The federally funded program, called Microgrants for Food Security, aims to help people grow, harvest, or store food. Individuals can apply for up to $5,000, and tribes and organizations that directly address food insecurity, like food banks and churches, can apply for up to $10,000. The state will also cover some shipping costs in rural areas like Bristol Bay. That amount is up to $1,500. So far, state officials say they have received over 2,400 grant applications. They're ranked by areas of geographic necessity. So the more food insecurity in a census area, the more likely it is that grants from that area will be accepted. The Kuslavec and Bethel census areas are ranked with the highest food insecurity, while Anchorage and Juneau have the lowest. The state will also take into account how many people would benefit from each grant. Applications for the Food Security Microgrant Program are open now and close at 5 p.m. on March 30th. That is it for the KTMO News Update for Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.